This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's from Tab Computer Systems. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We're happy to have him. And feel free to get online. I know it's a nice cloudy day out there, so you're thinking about your computer, right? So cuddle up with your computer, and if you have any issues with it, we'll help you out. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Also, we are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page, as long as Zuckerberg deems it worthy. And it fits the algorithm these days. Man, that algorithm sounds pretty nasty. But as long as it fits the algorithm, and you can go ahead and watch us over there, and we'll post everything that we talk about live over at computertalkwithtab.com. Mike G does that as the show goes on. And if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, it'll get into your newsfeed again, if Zuckerberg deems it worthy. As usual and customary, we have our news that we like to bring up, and Mr. Dennis here has a few things he'd like to talk about.
Well, we have a pretty serious breach.
Yeah.
It spanned 5 years.
5 years.
And it involved it involves a company that most of, I would think, the public has never heard of.
I didn't even know it existed as a thing.
I didn't either. However, you do deal with them.
Everyone does.
Everyone does, because if you have a cell phone, your texts are transiting between carriers using this company. Their name is Syniverse.
Right.
S-Y-N-I-V-E-R-S-E. And they were hacked. The hack endured for 5 years. The hack included pretty much everything about every text that they carried between carriers.
Right.
Including, and be careful about this, the content of the text.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So if you have any kind of, you know, what we talk about, risque texting, you know. My wife and I have been married long enough, we don't do that. But for those of you who are have exciting young lives, your text might be famous.
And the real problem with this is that they kind of kept this very quiet for a very long time.
Oh, this was
And they had to disclose it late last month.
Because
in a filing with the government.
Because they're going to go public. They want to go and become a public company.
Right.
So they had to disclose
that. That was the only reason it was disclosed, because of that legal requirement that they faced.
Right.
And they only disclosed it just in that filing. They never made an announcement. They never said a word.
Right, by the way.
Hey, all those crazy texts that you sent over the last several years. Well, somebody got them.
Yeah, right. And so it makes sense. I would never have thought there would be an intermediary like this, but it does make technical sense, right? So you can't get from Verizon to AT&T without somebody in the middle connected to them saying, come on over and send your stuff through us.
Yeah, there's got to be a middleman to carry them over.
And I wonder if they must be charging per text. I mean, they must charge. How are they making money? I mean, obviously the carriers are paying them to be that middle person. I would think.
True. Yeah.
So we're paying obviously as customers for that service, but.
Well, it probably works the way the phone companies work with intercarriage.
Right.
And it's probably by minute. Because I think
by minute a text is charged by minute.
Well. Is it data? It would be by text then.
Or is it? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But so yeah, your texts have been read by somebody. Who is interested in whatever you're sending over the past 5 years. We'll put a link up there for you guys so you can read the story and decide for yourself. Oh. In other news, you guys probably heard of this news. Facebook was out for 7 hours.
No, really? Were they?
Nobody noticed. When it was out, all of a sudden people came out of their homes. They went in their gardens. They read a book. So it probably did a lot for the humanity for the 7 hours it was out. But the thing about this outage, it came about when there was that whistleblower talking, right? It seems so weirdly coincidental, right?
Well, when I heard about it, I'm thinking, oh, great. Anonymous got to them or something, you know? You're wondering if some kind of activists did this, carried it out somehow.
Or did Zuckerberg say, oh, you know what? We'll get some sympathy if we go down. We'll show those people who hate Facebook. We'll go down for 7 hours.
Oh, yeah, that too.
All sorts of weird things crossed my mind. But it turns out it was just another mistake made by IT people.
Really?
On the cloud, where they did something with their edge routers that allowed for them to be no longer noticed by the planet.
Right.
And the funniest thing about this is because Facebook believes so much in their cloud technology, they use only their cloud technology to communicate and work between offices. So they really had to resort to basically cups and string in order to actually communicate because their entire system went down. So it's a circular problem. They didn't have any redundant system. It all went down. The cloud went down for them, which was their own data centers, their own servers. And to top it off, they couldn't get into their data centers because they used those technologies that are down in the data centers to get into the data centers.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
It's nuts. So guys, I mean, when you're thinking about putting up systems and redundancies and you're thinking about the cloud, think about how it can go down, right? I mean, you put all your eggs in that one basket, and they literally, I don't know how they had to break down the door. I don't know what they had to do to get in the data center, but they couldn't use their technology because it was no longer communicating with their technology. You can't make it up. So 7 hours is a long time to have your entire system down globally. Supposedly, Zuckerberg lost $6 billion in value because of that. When the stock
moved,
a little change, but that's all on paper anyways. So it's just interesting. We'll put a link up here for you because there's a lot of great articles about this whole thing as far as what happened. And, you know, nobody's shedding a tear, obviously, but it is something to consider as far as when you start putting your stuff in these data centers, these clouds or what have you, how are you going to operate if they go down? I mean, if you're not planning for that, I have discussions with clients all the time about disaster recovery.
Yeah.
And the discussion has to start with, well, what is a disaster to you? You know, a disaster is, to me, could be a completely different thing to an accounting firm, to a law firm, to a financial advisor. What's a disaster to you? Is it being down for 4 hours? Is that a disaster? Or is it being down for a week? Maybe that's a disaster. What's a disaster? And then you have to decide, of the things that you know you decide is a disaster, how are you going to mitigate for it? How are you going to deal with whatever backup you have, whatever recovery strategy you have? How long is that recovery strategy? Because you've told me a disaster is 4 hours. Well, can your systems get restored within 4 hours, right? Is 4.5 hours, you've lost all your customers and they've gone elsewhere? That sounds like a disaster. But if you can't restore your system in that time, well, you have to change your strategy. You need a different mitigation.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of businesses just don't think about until the disaster comes.
And that's what they said in this article, is that they planned on trying to do a test to see what would happen if But they never got to it, right? They never actually got to it. And
well, hey, maybe a few months from now we're going to see an expose saying that, oh, yeah, well, it was done on purpose. That was the drill.
Yeah. Well, I don't think
and
so.
And we found out, no, I don't either.
I don't think so. But their Border Gateway Protocol routers got hit, so... because they made a silly error. They made a mistake. But we'll put the link up there for you. What else you got there, Dennis? Do you have anything else you want to bring up?
Well, we've got an announcement about Firefox.
Okay, yeah.
It's a web browser that we often recommend.
Yeah.
I mean, we also talk about Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
But an interesting development in their latest version, they are going to embed sponsored search results in the browser search / URL bar at the top of the window.
Right.
So, in other words, you're going to get search suggestions that are essentially ads.
Right.
That are embedded in the browser because you're working within the browser when you're typing in that bar.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, seriously, you've got to reconsider whether we can continue to recommend them.
Right.
It is a good browser. It's nice and fast,
mm-hmm.
and it works with almost everything at this point.
Yeah.
But now they've just compromised the whole thing.
Right.
By burying advertising into their product.
As you type the search, and if they think they want to send you to a place for that search, it'll be a paid result rather than
a genuine result that came up through whatever search engine it's going to. Right. Now, I mean, it's one thing for them to be paid by like Google or Microsoft to put Google or Bing in as the default search engine.
Right.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
It's another to do something like this. And I consider it a very serious breach of ethics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wonder if malware software companies are going to decide that it is advertisingware and
Adware.
Flag it accordingly on everybody's computers.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine that it's going to happen.
Right.
And we're going to have to be prepared for the calls when the customers ask us why Firefox isn't working or why my software is telling me that it's malware. You know, what's going on here? You guys told me we could use it. And yeah, we did.
Yep.
But they went and...
sold out.
They sold out.
Their tools.
Ugh.
Oh, it's awful, Dennis. I don't know. All right, we'll put these links up there for you guys so you can take a look at them yourself and read the articles. They're over at computertalkwithtab.com. Mike G posts it live. We're going to get to your calls. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you. And let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. Let's go to James in Bloomfield first. Good morning, James.
Yes, this is James in Bloomfield.
Yes, sir.
I have an indirect question about OpenDNS.
All right.
And the question is, have you ever discussed the subject of DNS over HTTPS on this program?
In what context?
Well, the reason I say is that all three of the major browsers, Firefox, Chrome, and Edge, support this feature within their settings. And I found out recently, much to my surprise, earlier this week, I got on the OpenDNS setup guide page.
Yep.
And my setup requires that I do it at the device level. So I ran the test and it failed. And I was dumbfounded. And I went back and checked all my Ethernet IPv4 and 6 settings, and they were fine. I did some internet searches. And then I finally, at last resort, I went back to the OpenDNS page, the setup guide.
Yep.
And I went, I'm going to go to it right now. I went to the computer workstation and laptops. And there's a list comes up, and the user is originally drawn to Windows 10 configuration.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically just tells you to set up your Ethernet IPv4 and 6 settings.
Yep.
But there's one above it, right at the top. It says using DNS over HTTPS DOH with OpenDNS.
Yep.
And the reason, apparently the reason I failed is that Firefox has, in a recent installation, has put in a default. They use their own DNS server, which overrides whatever you put in Ethernet.
Yes.
And it's described how to set it up is described perfectly within the OpenDNS setup guide.
Right. Now, we should explain what James is talking about. So when you're using DNS now and it's not over HTTPS, it's unencrypted. It's where you're searching is available, quote unquote, available, right? And now you've even heard in the news that you're going to start having warrants put out for people based on keyword searches. Right?
Starting. Yeah. It's already been done.
It's probably already been done.
Yeah.
And I mean, and again, I think I brought this up in the shows before, but we used to have the, you know, librarians come in way back in 2000 talking about how private they kept your, just simply taking your books out. FBI couldn't mm-hmm. come and figure out whether or not you're taking out Catcher in the Rye or whatever you're taking out, right? They were very right. proud of that fact. Well, nowadays, you can get a keyword search, and if it's the wrong search, you know, as long as you're not doing anything wrong, they can, you know, submit a warrant. So what James is saying is you can actually encrypt your DNS searches this way and actually have more privacy, which is something new. It is fairly new. I'm looking here at, I guess Chrome came out with it back in May of 2020.
Yeah, and the write, by the way, the write-up in OpenDNS is incorrect. As I said earlier, you can go into the settings on both on Firefox, Chrome, and Edge and actually set up to use DNS over HTTPS.
Yeah.
And directed to use OpenDNS.
Right. So.
And that's what I finally had to do. And once I read the write up in the OpenDNS setup guide, I was able to set it back up so that my when I ran the test, it passed this time.
Yeah, and we'll put a link up to that information so that you're at least aware that you could be even more secure.
Yes.
As far as how you use your system and have it encrypted. Very good point there, James. We have not talked about
it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it was a real surprise because, as I said, when I failed, I always assumed I'd been going over OpenDNS and
right.
It supposedly it is faster and it is probably more secure, but I think it's good that the browsers are doing that. And by the way,
definitely.
The upcoming Windows 11 says that is a default
configuration.
And it will happen at the operating system level then.
Yes, that is correct.
All right, very good, James. I appreciate you for bringing it to our attention and getting it out to the listeners. Thank you so much.
Yep.
You're very welcome.
All right, have a good one. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's great. He makes a good point. And,
excellent point.
It came out in May, but we were all talking about COVID. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We'll put a link up to that instruction that James talked about for you if you want to use DNS over HTTPS. So Mike, hang on. Jonathan, hang on. Two lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online. 800-96-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything's posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have a couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. And we have put those links up there for you just to learn how to use DNS over HTTPS to secure your searches a little bit more. Now that Big Brother is watching.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny. I was talking to Dennis off-air. The Southington Marching Band has a show this year called, I think it's called Dystopia. And it kind of talks about the whole 1984 Orwell as we are watching what's going on with, you know, search engine requests and IRS looking at our bank accounts if you got $600 in it. I mean, it's what timing on that show, guys? I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing it in Cheshire this evening. So if you're in the marching band scene, you want to check out some good marching band shows. Cheshire's got their show this evening, so go check it out. I think the weather's going to be good. And you can watch the Southington Marching Band perform. Just, I think it's called Dystopia. But let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Mike in Farmington next. What's happening, Mike?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I recently attended a 50th high school reunion, and I was asked there to put together a website whereby the folks who took pictures from the reunion could load them up and others could see them and share.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked for a direct website as opposed to going through Facebook or something else like
yeah.
that because of concerns of security.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know if you had any suggestions.
Well, I mean, you could always create a website using WordPress or something like that.
Yeah, there are other prepackaged softwares that'll create picture galleries on a website that you build.
You have one that comes to mind?
I can't recall the name of it, but I have seen it.
Is it like Wix or something like that?
Well, Wix will do it.
Yeah.
If you put your website on Wix and build it out from there,
mm-hmm.
they will have options for that there's a wizard that helps you design your site.
Right.
It'll ask you a bunch of questions and it will lead you through building it out. And there are options in there where you could pick a photo gallery type website and then build it out from there.
Okay. All right. That sounds like what we're looking for.
Yeah. Give that a shot.
That was WIX?
I think it's yes. WIX. Yep.
Yep. That's what it is.
Okay. Very good. I will give it a shot. Thanks a lot for your help. Appreciate it today.
Yeah. Good mm-hmm. luck, Mike.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, they don't want to put it on Facebook.
Hey, I mean,
I don't blame them.
Maybe that's the best way to go.
Yeah, well, it's a way.
I think it is.
Definitely. Let's go to Jonathan in Monroe. What's happening, Jonathan? You there, Jonathan?
Yes.
What can we do for you?
Hi.
Hi.
We have a 1-year-old HP all-in-one. The My HP support assistant indicates there is an update available, quote, HP Consumer Desktop PC BIOS Update, and in parens, ROM Family SSID 87AU.
Yep.
And I was wondering if you had heard anything about that. We're not having any issues with the printer, if that's something that we should do.
So BIOS updates, we've had callers explain that they've bricked their system by having issues with the BIOS update. You've got to be careful mm-hmm. with BIOS updates, because if something goes wrong, power outage, something occurs, it's the scariest thing for an IT guy to do a BIOS update.
It is.
Right, because you can't. It's yeah. hard to recover from it.
Right.
So my thought would be, if everything's going fine today, and you'd rather not experience an issue on it's your printer, you said, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
No,
I wouldn't bother with
Skip it.
Skip it. Yeah.
Skip it.
So, unless for some reason it's going to make your printing more efficient, which I highly doubt, I would just ignore it.
I can't imagine it.
No. So I would just say
we're concerned. About any possible security patches. You're not aware of anything with that, are you?
Well, so you have a great point, right? So BIOS updates do hopefully allow for more security, and especially on your firewalls, your routers, workstations too, right? This is a printer. I'm not sure what the bad guys are going to do with your printer.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that they would use that as their foothold on your network.
Yeah, so I would doubt you'd have to be too concerned, but in the interest of security, we should tell people that it is best to have the latest BIOSes on all your systems, because mm-hmm. these vulnerabilities that are built into these BIOSes, if you haven't patched them, it's kind of on you. The company says, hey, we had support for this and we sent out updates and you didn't update it and now you're vulnerable. But for a printer, I don't know that I would be too concerned. I mean, maybe I don't have enough imagination as far as what the bad guys are doing, I think you're okay.
Especially because it's not outward facing
right.
on the internet. So, you know, I can't imagine that you would get that much more security out of it
right.
to deal with the risk of bricking the printer.
But now that we've talked about firewalls and routers, have you looked at the BIOS on your router? Is it set to automatically update? Jonathan? Is your firewall set to automatically update its BIOS, its firmware?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
Excellent.
So you're definitely very much thinking about security.
That's the ultimate outward-facing device on your network. If anything you own needs to be updated, it's that.
Right.
And keep it up to date. Yep. Definitely. Way to go.
Okay. Thanks for the information. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, so we have four lines wide open. I did see the lines ringing. I don't know what Matt's doing back there. I don't see him back there. But we're here till 11 o'clock, 1-800-966-WTIC-522. Oh, there he is. I see him. 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. I did have an article I wanted to bring up really quickly. I thought it was kind of funny. Facebook bans developer behind unfollow everything tool. So there's a developer named Lewis Barclay. And he created a browser extension that was called Unfollow Everything. And if you were using Facebook, you could click on that and you would completely unfollow all of your friends, right? So your news feed was completely blank.
Wow.
And he found it. He did it because he was becoming too addicted to Facebook. And of course, Facebook doesn't like that type of tool, right? It breaks the usage of Facebook. It's against their EULA. And they said if he doesn't cease and desist, they're going to ban him forever. Now,
whoa!
I guess he decided to acquiesce, didn't want to take on a $1 trillion company like Facebook.
Well, especially a $1 trillion company that's doesn't even have competent sysadmins taking care of their edge devices.
But we digress. But he removed the tool. But he did find it interesting that when he actually did it, it basically his Facebook became totally manageable because he no longer saw just this content filled by some of his friends based on an algorithm. Mm-hmm. He could go and check out whoever he wanted to check out. So,
right.
But he didn't want to get banned for life and take on this $1 trillion company. But I'll put this link up here for you. Now, with Facebook's troubles they're dealing with, I don't know, maybe Congress is going to say you need a tool to be able to do this type of stuff. Because when you're publicly traded and you're messing with the public and you're dealing with SEC and stuff like that, and you start messing with congressional folks, you know, they can start saying, well, you know what, Facebook, you need to have a way that people can just push a button. So
maybe
the only way around that would be to become a private company rather than a public company. Well, I think Congress can still mess with you. But the SEC folks get involved when you're a public company. But it's going to be interesting because these tools are going to exist more and more, and more of us are going to want to use them for whatever reason as we deal with Facebook and it's all its issues. I'll put the link up there for you guys. So we're going to take a quick break, get back to more of your calls. They're all rolling in. Ron and Agawam, hang on. Steven Winstead, and then a couple lines open for you. We'll be right back. And we are back. One line open for you. And, my wife and I are going to head out and get the flu vax.
Hey.
Looking forward to that.
Nice.
Nice time in CVS and get vaccinated from the flu. Already got the COVID shots. Taking my vitamins. Get out there and do that, guys. Please, for your own. I know somebody who's battling COVID that didn't get the shot and very bad shape. And I don't know. It's your right to not do it. But, man, if you can do it, do it. But I'm not going to talk more about it. But we're getting our flu shot. We're running out to CVS today. Let's go on to Ron in Agawam. What's happening, Ron?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I try to bet my best to listen to it every Saturday.
Well, we're a podcasted too, so if you've got other times of the day that you want to listen to Geek Talk, go to the Odyssey app, and
I'll definitely have to check it out.
You can binge us.
Oh, well, listen, guys, I got a large brick printer.
Oh no!
It turned into a brick. It's 10 years old. It's had a good life.
Okay.
Okay.
But I'm wondering, how do I dispose of it properly without fear of stuff that I've... Because it's an all-in-one printer, copier, scanner, fax, all that good stuff. But how do I dispose of it properly without fear of its memory being used?
Right. Some printers do have areas of memory, like little hard drives or little SD cards that do capture whatever you're putting on it.
Right.
So it's a good fear to have. A 10-year-old printer may have less chance of that than the modern printers.
I would think so. Yeah.
Okay.
There is a place that we recommend that does responsibly recycle electronics called Green Monster. And they're in West Hartford. So just a skip and a hop down the 91 there for you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. What is it now?
Green Monster.
Green Monster. I'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
My wife is quite worried about it because she's documented oriented and she doesn't want any information out there, private information.
No, I don't blame her, right? Yeah, I mean, she's every right to be worried. Now, you could always read the manual on that printer to see if there's any kind of memory card in there or device in there.
Manual? What's that?
Well,
the printer head on it and ink and everything else, it turned into a big brick.
Some of the manufacturers are really good about providing manuals online on their websites.
Right.
Oh, definitely have to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to see if it has a hard drive that you have to be worried about or not. But Green Monster should not care to look at your data. They're looking at getting whatever materials they can out of it.
I do want to dispose of it properly, obviously.
Yeah.
And, well, by the time they've dismantled it and, you know, taken all the components out that are, reclaimable, there's going to be no way that anybody can do anything with anything that's left.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. I'll definitely have to check them out. I thank you very much. And like I said, keep doing your thing. You guys are great.
Well, thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Ron.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right. You should be concerned, right? You got to think about where all your stuff is, where you're putting your stuff, where you're saving your stuff. And sometimes your stuff gets saved to places you didn't even know was getting saved.
Mm-hmm.
And people have access to your stuff that you were like, wait a minute, I didn't even know I put it there.
Right.
I was dealing with an insurance company. It's so funny. This insurance company was talking to me about, getting set up for my insurance. And they can do everything for the insurance, right? They can go ahead and tell you what your collisions and all that fun stuff is as far as the numbers are involved. They can fill out all that. But they would not make my stuff electronic unless I went on the app and did the paperless enrollments.
Oh.
Right. For some reason, they drew a line there. That was a bridge too far for them to cross to actually click that box. Even if I said, just click the box. I don't care. Make it paperless. The process is so silly in that they have paperless billing and then paperless statements on the actual insurance. So you have to click on two things to tell them. That you don't want the paper, right? But but for 20 years, they mailed me every week almost. We'd like you to be a member of our insurance. They've killed more trees asking me to become a member, and they make it so difficult to become electronic. But it gets down to this whole thing of, where is all your stuff? It's coming into my email now. So if my email gets hacked, they're reading the email. We have lots of examples of that's where really you need to really lock down everything is lock it down on your email. Make sure that it's two-factor authenticated. Make sure that your password is really difficult.
Yes.
That's where your life is right now. Let's go to Steve in Winstead next. What's happening, Steve?
Good morning, Eric. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was wondering, when you mentioned disaster with Facebook, my first thought was when they went down that maybe they had a problem with ransomware and that it's they took all that time because they had to come up with all the money, possibly $1 billion or whatever, because they're going to keep it under wraps.
Right. No, that would have been more understandable. This, what actually happened is worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my other question or comment was on YouTube. I had an experience where it made me realize that all this time that I've been on YouTube, it made me feel like I was in the front lobby of the bookstore with all the discarded and discounted books, whereby I clicked on something and it said, I am an unregistered user, and I really didn't know what to do about it. So I thought I'd call you up and see what you'd recommend.
I don't follow you. Both Dennis and I are trying to understand what you're saying. What do you mean?
Well, it looks like there's a lot of things on YouTube that I don't have access to because I'm not registered.
YouTube itself?
Does that make any sense? I'm not even sure.
Well, I think all it's telling you is that you don't have a Google or YouTube ID that you've logged into the site with.
Which is fine.
So it's not... Well, yeah, it's actually good because the upshot is that it's not keeping track of all these videos that you're watching.
Right. Then you get into an algorithm list and then all of a sudden they just throw those types of videos at your face and you don't have access. You don't see what else is out there.
Right. And it doesn't mean that they don't know anything about you, but right now all they know is that there's a collection of browser sessions from your IP address where you looked at a certain list of videos, and that's it. So it's just an anonymous chunk of information
You're not missing out on anything.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, they want you to register so they can track you and know who you are, but yeah, right. I think you're probably better off doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, and I know we're running low on time, is I leave my device next to the radio and I listen to TIC all day long.
Yeah.
And I also talk to myself, and sometimes I mention what I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
And I notice on the YouTube cart that they get videos involved either with what's being discussed on TIC or with the things that I happen to say out loud.
Yep. And that's your phone.
Yeah, that's your phone.
That is so strange.
Yep.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm sure some people would, but, you know, it's
I do.
Just,
I get a problem with it.
I don't bother a lot of people. I was just complaining that my kidneys were killing me, and then I got a bunch of videos on how to fix and repair your kidneys.
Wow. It is nuts, Steve. That's the world we're living in.
Yeah, I guess so. But I appreciate you taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, you say it, your phone is listening to you, and they're going to, you're like, wait a minute, did I say it? Did I think it? Why is that in front of me? That doesn't make any sense.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. Everything we talked about is posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.